For NPR Music, I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras. This is Alt Latino.
Today, in honor of Cinco de Mayo, we've invited a very special guest.
Gustavo Arellano is author of books such as Orange County, A Personal History, and his new book, Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America.
But he's probably even better known for his regular column on the Orange County Weekly called Ask a Mexican, in which he fields all types of questions about Mexican and Mexican-American culture.
So who better than him to join us today to discuss the significance of Cinco de Mayo and check out some pretty cool new Mexican bands.
Gustavo, welcome to the program.
Hola, gracias for having me.
Gracias por venir.
Well, por supuesto, of course. It's an honor. Keep spinning that amazing music.
This is La Santa Cecilia doing Tainted Love. Let's hear a little more of that, and then I'll tell you about the band and the song.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain that you're driving to the heart.
Love her voice. Have you heard Santa Cecilia?
They used to be my house band when I used to have my own radio show on KPFK out in LA. I would always start my shows with Klezmer, their amazing song that like defines Los Angeles better than anything since the pastrami burrito. And and so I'd have them on once a month. I remember them when they were small, and now they're blowing up, and oh, they're a magnificent band, magnificent.
And I love this song. A lot of people think that Tainted Love, the original, is from Soft Cell. That's not exactly true. Actually, Ed Cobb wrote it, and Gloria Jones sang it in 1965. It's a very funky, kind of soulful Tainted Love. Then the 80s band Soft Cell did it in a version that everyone knows now. This is as soulful as that original, and it's off of their EP El Valor. And like you said, Santa Cecilia, based in Los Angeles, a very LA sound.
And they're getting quite a bit of recognition. They recently did a gig. Elvis Costello personally asked for them to open up for him.
Just shows again how smart Elvis Costello is. And it shows La Santa Cecilia just blowing up. Marisol, the lead singer, just has this amazing smoky voice that goes somewhere between Ella Fitzgerald, can get down into Nina Simone style, but with much, much more energy. Basically a punk DIY ethos. And all the members. And I think the guitarist's name is Guadalupe. I can't remember her name. She could lay down the Bootsy. She could lay down the Django Reinhardt. She could lay down anything. It's one of the best bands around right now. They should have been the headliners at Coachella, not whoever the hell was it. The last time I went to Coachella was when Iggy Pop and the Stooges reunited. That's how out of it I am.
I think they'll get there. Yeah.
And we want to remind our listeners that what we're doing today is we're playing bands from either this side of the border or the other side of the border, Mexican bands, Mexican-American bands, in honor of Cinco de Mayo.
Let's talk about Cinco de Mayo. Now, Gustavo, why don't you tell us what the origins of Cinco de Mayo are?
Cinco de Mayo is a commemoration of the Battle of Puebla, which happened on, guess when? Cinco de Mayo, 1861. What happened was the French military came in, so they went in and invaded Mexico, or they tried to invade Mexico. So that first battle happened in Puebla, which is around central Mexico. You had the French force, one of the predominant armies in the world at that point, but the Mexican army, led at that time by Ignacio Zaragoza, they held them back. So it was a great victory. It was, oh geez, it was as if, say, Pumas beat Real Madrid, like this absolutely impossible victory.
Very unlikely.
Exactly, very unlikely. I'm a Pumas fan, so I know where I'm coming from. But so because of that, you know, you celebrate that for ages and ages afterwards. But what people always forget is that the following year, the exact same battle happened, And this time the French won. And not only did the French win, they conquered Mexico. They installed the Habsburg prince, Maximilian, as sort of the regent of Mexico. He crowned himself emperor. And so Cinco de Mayo, I always considered to be, it's a celebration of a false victory. Yeah, eventually, of course, Mexico kicked the French out and executed Maximilian. But the Battle of Puebla, it was just one little battle that nevertheless resonated with people. You know, here we go a century and a half later.
What happened was that in 1848, whenever Mexico ceded just about the entire southwest of the United States, the people, the Mexicans left behind in Los Angeles, they wanted to maintain some kind of their Mexican identity. So what they did was they created a holiday on this date to remind themselves, because they were a part of the United States and they weren't, you know, getting treated very well. And that's what happened. Now,
there was a little disagreement here, Gustavo, okay. And I think you should weigh in. When I see these celebrations that are really based a lot of it on drinking and selling drinks at bars, it gets a little under my skin.
Here in the United States, though, we love playing ethnic. We do not like the ethnics, but we love playing ethnic. Look at St. Patrick's Day. Everyone wishes they were Irish on St. Patrick's Day, but when they were celebrating it a century ago at the same time, they were discriminating against Irish folks. Everyone tries to pretend like they're, you know, a wise guy, say an Italian-style wise guy, but do they want to, you know, live like Italian Americans in this country a century ago? No, they don't. So America always has this schizophrenic reaction to its ethnics. In other words, it's okay to take away the culture from them, but you can't actually live alongside them. You can't actually intermarry with them. At least that's the historical route. And what happens then is eventually a group is here long enough so that finally Americans say, okay, fine, you're part of us, with, of course, the great exceptions of Mexicans. Mexicans and Latinos in general, but Mexicans specifically. And it's always going to be because we have such a tortured history between the two countries.
Okay, we want to get back into this conversation because I have some comments and we want to talk about growing up in California as well. But let's hear some music first, and let's hear some music from Mexico. Jazz, what'd you bring in?
Let's do it. I brought a band called Hello Seahorse. It's a very popular Mexican alternative pop band from Mexico City. They killed at Vive Latino this year. Check it out. This is Para Mí, or For Me. Probably the most distinguishing characteristic of Hello Seahorse is the voice of lead singer Denny Gutierrez, aka Lo Blondo. It's very operatic because she was trained from a very early age as an opera singer. And I always find it very fascinating when opera singers join with rock bands. And at Vive Latino, the music festival we went to in Mexico City recently, you could really tell by her stage presence. I mean, she was standing not that close to the microphone and just opening her mouth, and you could tell that she had a powerful vocal instrument.
Did you guys ever hear that album that Gustavo Cerati did with the orchestra backing him, doing all the Soda Stereo
songs? Of course.
Even though Cerati is a pop singer more, but when you have sometimes that gravitas, in that album especially, his voice just soars, like a great tenor voice. So I love Hello Seahorse, and they've played here actually in Orange County before. Not only do they have that voice and that, you know, the great music, but they have that presence, which is sometimes right. Something that a lot of people are missing.
I'm always amazed when I see someone physically very tiny who has a voice that is just belongs
it's almost
know,
always
to a
the
rhinoceros.
Case. it's almost always the case. You know, you see some people like that.
We used to say the girl has pipes.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Gustavo, how widely is Cinco de Mayo celebrated in Mexico?
It's not really celebrated at all. It's a holiday. It's hardly the most important holiday. Mexican Independence Day, of course, is a much more, probably the most important holiday.
Sure.
Followed then probably by La Celebración de la Virgen de Guadalupe, followed by Día de los Muertos, followed by, geez, El Día del Niño, El Día del Maestro.
So it's God like at the end of the list of all.
Yeah, except for, and this is why, it happened specifically in Puebla, but what happened was one of the heroes from the Battle of Puebla was a gentleman by the name of Porfirio Diaz. Porfirio Diaz, of course, became the dictator of Mexico, really a president by title, but really a dictator for 40-some years. And that holiday became very associated with him. Huh. And so when the Mexican Revolution happened and Diaz was kicked out of office, no one wanted to celebrate anything that Diaz had to do. So Cinco de Mayo became forgotten mostly in Mexico, if not frowned down upon. But up here in the United States, though, what you had some exiles, people who still wanted to celebrate it, who liked Diaz. And so they continued that celebration really until the way I heard it in the 1960s, Chicano students at universities in the Southwest, they want a celebration on campus to begin the year and to end the year. So beginning of the year is Mexican Independence Day, to end the year is Cinco de Mayo.
When I was growing up in California, Cinco de Mayo was, in my situation, depending on my mother or my father's side, I'm either second or third generation Mexican-American here in this country. And in a lot of ways, we lost touch to the Mexican culture. So growing up, we didn't even celebrate Cinco de Mayo in the schools, because the inner city schools in Sacramento, maybe there was like one or two celebrations. But eventually, they started doing it more. And it was more of a way for people to reconnect to the culture. People who have been acculturated, lost the language, lost a lot of the things that are associated with the culture. Then there were groups like Ballet Folklorico groups started becoming popular. You can learn to play mariachi music. There were all these different things to do to celebrate around Cinco de Mayo as a cultural celebration and a way to reconnect. I do remember, though, as an adult, I remember hearing a radio ad for Cinco de Drinko at a bar, which, turned my stomach, because it was like maybe late 70s, early 80s, maybe even a little later when it began to go outside of the Mexican-American community and become more part of the mainstream. Then things sort of took off. And then, see, I don't have the strong visceral reaction against it.
No, but for the record, I'm not advocating that Cinco de Mayo get canceled. I'm just saying that is the
yes,
part.
Yes, you were.
No, the Cinco okay, de kidding. Mayo, like Cinco de Drinko thing,
yeah.
That's the part that gets a little irritating to me. Why don't we wash this down with a little bit of music?
That's a good
Love
idea.
What do you want to listen to next, V?
Let's do a song that we both really, really like from this band. It's a new CD that just came in called Radio Jarocho, and the song is called Café Café, and I think you described it as sexy.
I think I haven't heard something this sexy in a nightclub in a really long time, and this is old school. This is Jarocho.
Maracuyá. Bailemos.
I have so much to say about this song, and I think Felix does too. First of all, I love the lyrics. Let me just translate a little bit of that first line. He says, "Beloved Marcelina, you wake me up in the morning, right when the sun comes up, and you slip into my bed. You give me what I like, sweetened with brown sugar, a prick, and a sliver of cinnamon."
Okay, I want to leave now. I got to leave the room.
Can you say that on the air?
This band is part of a whole movement of resurgence of the rediscovery of jarocho from Mexico.
The jarocho movement in Southern California has been going on now for a good decade, if not 15 years. There's a nonprofit that I've been involved with for many years called the Centro Cultural de Mexico, and about a decade ago, we started teaching young, at that time, teenagers how to play son jarocho. These, you know, teenagers from Santana who grew up listening mostly to hip-hop and old-school funk, and now, a decade later, you still have a lot of these people still playing for our house group, Son del Centro, going around Southern California and just blasting this really, really amazing music. A couple of years ago, we had this amazing show where none other than Zach de la Rocha of, oh, you know, Rage Against the Machine. The great thing with Son Jarocho, for those in the audience who have never heard it, it's improvisational lyrics doing an ABBA lyric format. And so Zach, he's just started riffing in English and in Spanish, along with these master jarocheros, just singing about music while you have this great rhythm in the background, the requinto and the jarana, and you know, in that case, the tarima and all those amazing instruments. And so it's great to see jarocho, if not yet breaking into mainstream America, at least Americans now know that it's more than just la bamba.
Yeah, it's such a fun genre, and actually jarocho means from the area of Veracruz, right? Mm-hmm. It's anything from Veracruz, and son jarocho is music from that area. It uses a lot of cajon, which is kind of like a box,
it's
percussion,
a box. Mm-hmm.
And requinto jarocho and the jarana jarocha is a string instrument that is like a guitar. It has 8 strings, but it's much narrower than a guitar. And what I'm fascinated by with this instrument is that it doesn't actually sound as much like a guitar or a ukulele. It's almost used as a percussive element in son jarocho. And the way it's played mimics the shuffling of dancers. So it has like a very percussive element.
Yeah, the way you strum it.
Right. I'm very interested when instruments are used emulating dancers and not vice versa.
Veracruz is the one part of Mexico that has an African influence.
Right.
Because it was a port. And they did have some African presence there. So the music there is very distinct from the rest of the part of the country.
Absolutely, yeah. Veracruz, and then on the other side, Guerrero and Oaxaca, they call it La Costa Caliente. They also has a big Afro-Mexican influence. And, you know, Costa Chica and La Tierra Caliente. There's the Costa Chica, which has an Afro-Mexican presence, and Tierra Caliente, which also has. They have a type of music called chilenas, which is actually influenced by Chilean music. And it's a pretty, pretty fast genre. Although, and I predict hipsters will discover it. I'll say 25 years.
25? Well, we better start a record label now. Start capitalizing on it.
Let's continue with more music.
Yeah, let's do it. Do you want to hear Alejandro Escobedo?
Let's hear his new song. It's from an album coming out in June. Alejandro Escobedo is an artist that has performed primarily in English. He's got a new album coming out. It's all in English, but he has one song in Spanish. He does a version of a very, very old classic called Sabor a Mí.
Tanto tiempo disfrutamos de este amor, nuestras almas se acercaron, tanto así que yo guardo tu sabor, como tú llevas también sabor a mí. Si negaras mi presencia en tu vivir, bastaría con abrazarte y conversar. Tanta vida yo te di, que por fuerza llevarás sabor a mí. No pretendo ser tu dueño, no soy nada, yo no tengo vanidad de mi vida. Doy lo bueno, soy tan pobre que otra cosa puedo dar. Pasarán más de 1,000 años, muchos más, yo no sé si tenga amor la eternidad, pero allá tan como aquí, en la boca llevarás sabor.
There's something very dissonant about the guitar and his voice.
Yeah. Sabor a Mi is one of my all-time favorite songs. My favorite version is, well, let's see. We could either go Edie Gourmet and Los Pan- Trio Los Panchos.
Man, you're going back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I go back. I'm old school, man. Or, of course, the amazing version by El Chicano. And what I like about Escovedo's version, it really captures sort of the moodiness of the song. It's a love song, but there's melancholy to it. Even when Edie Gourmet, of course, with Trio Los Panchos, it's a beautiful peppy album, but that one song gives it, you know, that sort of melancholy to it. So Escovedo bringing his version of Chicano music into this bolero standard, magnificent.
I think this might be one of the most popular love songs in Latin America. In fact, I have a friend, my friend Richie, and he once warned me. He said, if you ever play Sabor a Mi on your show, you have to dedicate it to my wife, Bayless.
Oh, nice.
So here you go, Ricardo.
I call it Chicano Bible music. Throughout the Southwest, every Chicano household has either a copy of the Bible or a copy of this song, or both. Especially the El Chicano version. That was, that everybody had that. Now, what was interesting, though, with Alejandro Escovedo is, like, he's primarily recorded in English. He goes back to, like, a punk band. One of his bands opened for the Sex Pistols at their infamous Winterland show way back decades ago. He's done punk. He's done cowboy punk. He's settled in Austin. He's got a very, very dedicated following for his music and his writing, his performances. I had a chance to interview him once out at his ranch out in Austin. Very interesting guy. But he hasn't really done a lot of Latin music, even though his name is Alejandro Escovedo. He's carved his own path. That's why I think this song is interesting to see him do this for the first time.
I'm a huge fan of great lyrics, and I believe nobody does good lyrics, like romantic, passionate lyrics, like traditional Latin song.
The bolero.
Oh, the lyrics say, let me say it in Spanish first. Tanto tiempo disfrutamos de este amor. Nuestras almas se acercaron tanto así que yo guardo tu sabor, pero tú llevas también sabor a mí. So much time we enjoyed this love. Our souls got so close that now I keep a taste of you, but you also carry a taste of me. Doesn't get better than that.
When I played in bands in high school, I mean, this was like one of the first songs we learned. I've been playing this song since I was like 15.
Did it help you get girls?
Let's get, my wife is listening. I'm glad he's doing this song. He's got a new album coming out. What's next?
Gustavo, what do you listen to?
I listen to everything and anything. I tend to go more, though, for the older music. Like, newer music, I know some of the names, but I don't follow it as closely as you folks would. So when we get to Latin America, Mexico and everything. So on my Ask a Mexican Facebook fan page, every Saturday morning, I put up something called Mexican Song of the Weekend, where I put all different types of Mexican music, not just the bands that we play today, but also rancheras like, you know, Antonio Aguilar, Vicente Fernandez, and then all the different genres, tamborazo, son istemio, the xylophone music from Oaxaca, which is incredibly haunting, the, you know, the son huasteca, which is, that's basically, that also comes from Veracruz, but it's most famous for its fiddle, like it's a trio with a fiddle and their own version of a jarana. Tamborazo, that's the music that I grew up listening to, or banda sinaloense, which is the, you know, the umpa music that perplexes Gamacho so much. Like, how the hell did, you know, Oktoberfest get into Mexico?
Wait, Gamacho's in a lot of Latin America, okay?
Yeah, in perplexed. A lot of Latin America, exactly. You know, the conjunto norteño, with the, that's the accordion music. It's funny because when I first started as a reporter, I exclusively covered Latin music, especially rock and español. There used to be this amazing scene here in Orange County, of all places. Orange County, California had one of the most vibrant rock and español scenes in the United States. I didn't grow up listening to rock en español, but listening to just the amazing groups. All the great groups passed through here. Soda Stereo, Juanes, Aterciopelados, Café Tacuba, El Gran Silencio, Todos Tus Muertos, all of them, all of that genre. And so I grew up covering that genre. And then, of course, my favorite, Mexican death metal, Brujeria being the best.
Yes.
But everything else is just old music. I love old music, period.
So what was the song of the week last week? Let's play that.
I'm trying to remember, because I always just jump around. I know the week before that, it was Al Hurricane, the godfather of New Mexico music, this awesome guy who has, first of all, has an eye patch. How can you not love a guy with an eye patch? A humongous pompadour, and just plays New Mexico style music, which is a combination of Tex-Mex, Conjunto Norteño, and it has like some stack style horns. And it's all based in New Mexico. You can't find it anywhere else, that specific type of genre. Not even Chicanos in Texas or California listen to that music.
Let's play that.
Let's play that.
Oh, go for it.
La iglesia estaba toda iluminada, mucha gente fue invitada, yo también estaba ahí. Nadie sabe la tristeza que sentía, por el gusto en ese día se casaba mi querer. Ella llegó acompañada del padrino, la llevaba a su destino y ella nunca imaginó. Por un momento tuve toda la ilusión de que en aquel anillo yo le daba el corazón. Por un momento tuve toda la ilusión de que en aquel anillo yo le daba el corazón. A la salida de la iglesia engalanada, estaba ya casada la mujer que yo adoré. Entre vidas de parientes y de amigos, me acerqué para desearle de que fuera muy feliz. Pero resulta que ella no se imaginaba encontrarme cara a cara y no supo qué decir. Se fue llorando sin pensar que con su llanto su vestido iba mojando al llorar solo por mí. Se fue llorando sin pensar que con su llanto su vestido iba mojando al llorar solo por mí. Pero resulta que ella no se imaginaba encontrarme cara a cara y no supo qué decir. Se fue llorando sin pensar que con su llanto su vestido iba mojando al llorar solo por mí. Se fue llorando sin pensar que con su llanto su vestido iba mojando al llorar solo por mí.
Let's hear some more music. This is Los Estrombóticos.
Desde las 10 ya no hay donde parar el coche. Un ruletero que lo quiere uno llevar. Llegar al centro a atravesarlo es un desmoche. Un hormiguero no tiene tanto animal. Los almacenes y las tiendas son alarde, multitudes que así llegan a comprar. Al puro fiado porque está la cosa que arde, al banco llega nada más para sacar. El que nada hizo una semana está sin nada, a bañar la palangana y en el monte de piedad. Hay unas colas las ingratas y no falta el papanatas que le ganen el lugar. Sábado, Distrito Federal. Sábado, Distrito Federal. Sábado, Distrito Federal.
¡Ay, ay, ay!
Desde las 12 se llenó la pulquería. Los albañiles acabaron de rayar. Qué repicosas enchiladas y sotilia. La fritanguera que ahí pone su comal. La burocracia va a las 2 a la cantina. Todos los cohetes siempre empiezan a las 2. Los potentados salen ya con su charchina. La cuerda vaca, papá, lo alto, qué sé yo. Los cabarets en las noches tienen pistas a las caras de turistas y de la alta sociedad. Paga sus cuentas con un cheque de rebote. Guay, te dejo el relojote, luego lo vendrás a sacar.
Sábado, Distrito Federal. Sábado, Distrito Federal. Sábado, Distrito Federal. Ay, ay, ay.
I love this band's approach to music. So the guitar player, he was taught piano at age 5, and he says he had an awful monster of a teacher, and that after a few lessons with her, he never wanted to listen to music or play an instrument ever again. He had an aversion to music. He got really into visual arts, and then one day when he was 15, he found a guitar in his house, and he started playing. And as a result, what he explains is that the band has a very anti-academic stance towards music. They just kind of go at it and break a lot of rules. He knows the rules. I mean, he learned piano in a classical way, but he hates them.
You know more about the band than I do, and I brought it in. And the reason why, I was given this CD by a guy I met backstage at Vive Latino. I was with someone, and they said, oh, this guy's in a band. Pino, you should give him your CD. So he gave me the CD, and then I forgot about it and put it on earlier this week and thought, oh, where did I find this? And then I remembered it was that guy. It makes sense now from what you say, because the album, they're in these really cheesy blue, like really bad tuxedos. You know, it's very, very cheesy. And the graphics around the album is like what you're talking about. And now it totally makes sense. I just put it on because I just love this song and I like the sound of what they were doing.
Sábado, Distrito Federal. Sábado, Distrito Federal.
Weekly column, Ask a Mexican, you get a lot of questions that are genuine curiosity. You got questions from Hispanics, you get questions from non-Hispanics, you get some questions that are tongue-in-cheek and jest, and then on occasion you get like kind of a nasty question.
I get all types of questions.
And you seem like a very fun and cool guy. I mean, does it ever get to you when you get, I don't know, on a daily basis, kind of mean-spirited questions?
Oh, not at all. My day job, I'm the editor of the OC Weekly. We deal with threats of lawsuits all the time. We've gotten death threats from neo-Nazis, and I actually basically got excommunicated from the Catholic Church for exposing all of its pedophile priests out here in Orange County. So some angry guy calling Mexican beaners, like, yeah, that's really going to get to me. You know, it's funny. I just got a question. I haven't answered it yet, so this is an alt-Latino exclusive. It's going to come very soon. Once I find the letter, but some guy just went on this whole rant. You Mexicans smell. We should pay you guys to take a bath, and we should pay you guys to learn English because you're so dumb. And my response is, okay, where's my check? Please, I'll take a bath and learn English just if I could get paid. Why not? What happens so much with, you know, especially with those racist questions, especially with me, they try to get under my skin just because they think they can. But what they don't realize is I write the column. I pick the questions and I get to pick the answers. So I have the final word. Go for it. You know, try to rattle me. It's not going to work.
Let's just remind our listeners that your column is picked up in how many newspapers around the country?
39 newspapers at this point, wow. If I remember correctly, from Albuquerque up to San Francisco to even Chattanooga, Tennessee. Go figure that one out.
That's awesome. Wow. Okay, now I have a song. It's a surprise since we're dealing with the theme of Mexican and Mexican-American music. I'll give you a hint of who we're going to play. His name is Lalo Guerrero, and he's considered like the father of Chicano music. And from the 40s, he was playing like big band music, and he had a prolific career and went through the 40s, the 50s. Some of his music was used in the film Zoot Suit and in the play Zoot Suit. He's like a very early bicultural performer and mixing the two genres with a very strong Chicano, you know, Mexican-American identity. He did an album, a parody album of songs that he wrote lyrics to. And it's from like the mid-70s, and it's with Los Lobos before they were Los Lobos. Just listen to the song, and then you'll recognize the tune, and then listen to the lyrics.
I love tortillas, and I love them dearly. You'll never know just how sincerely I love the corn ones, y también de harina. But when my wife calls out from la cocina, there's no tortilla. Tortillas. There's only bread. There's no tortillas. And I feel so sad. My grief I cannot hide. There's no tortillas for my refries.
I have a little anecdote that I have to tell you guys. When we were in Mexico City, where we were there for a week, and I don't know how or why, but Felix started losing a lot of weight. And he was really happy about this. So at one point, I ordered this huge breakfast, like huevos rancheros con chilaquil, like I just a huge breakfast. And Felix is like, do you think I should order that? I've already lost so much weight. I want to keep it up. And I'm like, yeah, just order it without the tortillas. And he's like, why don't you just ask me to stop breathing?
That's partly why I played this song. Lalo Guerrero is an important part of the Chicano music history, Mexican-American music history out in California. Well, all over, really. And Gustavo, you're familiar with him as well out there.
Oh, yeah. Lalo Guerrero, magnificent man. His Pachuco Boogie music from the 1940s made Cab Calloway seem as electric as a can of white paint. Yeah. Great musician. You know, his parody songs were hilarious. He did another one about tacos. I can't remember that
tacos
name.
Tacos for Two.
Tacos for Two. That's the one. And, of course, this song, you know, the listeners, I hope, know that it's a take off of O Solo Mio, which maybe listeners might know more as It's Now or Never by Elvis Presley.
Speaking of tacos, we do want to mention your new book. Can you tell us briefly a little bit about what it's about?
Oh, yeah. Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America, tells a story of Mexican food in the United States, going back from when it first entered the belly of Americans, going back to the 1870s and 1880s, and all the different foodstuffs that Americans are obsessed about. Salsa, tequila, enchiladas, Korean tacos, pastrami burritos. Since we're talking about tortillas, how about tortillas in a can? Everything and anything you could imagine about Mexican food in this country, this book covers it. Covers the pioneers, even talks about some of the best Mexican food you could have in the United States.
Gustavo, thank you so much for joining us.
No, this gracias been, for having me. It was awesome spinning music.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been great hearing about your books, great hearing about how you write your column and some of the things that you do with it. So we do want to remind our listeners that you can find his column,
GustavoAriano.net,
and look for Ask a Mexican. It's a great read. We want to end with some music from Mexico. You mentioned chilaquiles.
Chilaquiles.
This is a
great food.
This is a song called Chilaquiles Verdes, and it's from an album that I picked up again in Mexico City, a compilation of independent record labels, and the track is called El Son y Tú.
And before we leave, I want to remind our listeners that you can listen to every song that we played on today's show on our website, npr.org/alt. Latino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and our new stream, Alt Latino Radio.
I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
Gustavo, please, please stop by again and come see us. This was so much fun.
Cuando quieran. And if you want to play music, oh, I got some musical numbers for you folks.
Right, we'll do that next time.
Buenísimo. La próxima.
Gracias.
And here is Chilaquiles Verdes. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Que viva la raza.
Que viva México.
Drinko for Cinco.
El sol. lunas y lo vive con sabor. Son me encanta la flor que crece en la lejanía, y una jarana me guía cuando empiezo este cantar. Que no se quiere acabar, que no se quiere acabar, que no se quiere acabar. Y aunque la noche esté fría,